Hello, my name is Kennedy Sam, and welcome to this week's edition of Conversations with Creative Waco. We are a fourth Friday feature on KWBU, and on months like this one, catch the show on the fifth Friday too. Stay with me for conversations with creatives and community leaders making an impact in our artistic and cultural sector. Today, we have three guests joining us. First, we're chatting with Fiona Bond, who's sharing a few fun ideas to keep in mind as we approach the holiday season. In the second half of the episode, you will hear from Susan Sistrunk and Aaron Williams about the Uptown Art Walk happening tomorrow, October 24th. Later on, you'll hear this week's segment of David and Art with David Smith. To kick off the show, we welcome Fiona Bond, Executive Director of Creative Waco. Fiona, thank you for joining us today.
Hi, Kennedy.
So it's been a few episodes since we've talked about the arts community as a whole, and now that people are beginning to move around town a little more and businesses and venues are, you know, starting to resume programming, can you give a brief update on the state of our arts community?
I am so happy that we are beginning to be able to do things in person again. You know, in the arts and cultural sector, we could take a lot of things online, and I'm constantly amazed by the creativity, inventiveness, and adaptability of our artists and performers. But honestly, there's no replacement for in-person experiences. And so, you know, I'd say what's characterizing this time is that we are beginning to see in-person experiences, obviously socially distanced, done safely, but it is so good to see. And that makes all the difference in the world for our arts and cultural sector.
Yeah. So tomorrow's Halloween, which basically starts the beginning of holiday season.
I can't believe it. I can't believe we're talking already about holiday season.
Mentally, I'm in July, but we're...
I think I'm still in April.
Honestly. So for those who want to start gearing up for the giving season, would you like to share a few ways and places to find unique and special gifts for your loved ones this season?
Absolutely. And let's face it, this has been a year like no other year. And I think this is a really fantastic opportunity for people to find very unique and meaningful ways of honoring the people they love and also kind of acknowledging the changes that have happened this year that I think will be, you know, for all of us, we'll all be impacted for the rest of our lives by what happened this year, for better or worse. I feel like I've grown a lot and discovered all kinds of things I wouldn't have known. It's really forced me to go deep. And I, you know, I hear that from a lot of people that this hiatus has been a really good recalibration. So, you know, our artists and our creatives have some pretty cool ways that you could mark the year. I'm encouraging people to think about commissioning artwork or even music, maybe even writing, maybe a poem, for people that they love. And we have multiple markets and in-person experiences coming up that most of them are outdoors and are a fantastic opportunity, even if you've been nervous about sort of coming out to events that have people. It's very easy to be socially distanced. Everyone wears masks. And in the weather that we have here during the fall, it's an absolute gift to be out.
There's nothing like fall in Texas.
Oh, it's so gorgeous. And just being out strolling around looking at art in this kind of weather is phenomenal. So, you know, we have East Side Market coming up, Uptown Art Walk, and you're going to be talking to Susan and Aaron later in the show. Cultivate 712, First Fridays are happening again. The Farmers Market, the third Saturday, has handmade goods. City Center is about to have their Cocoa Crawl for Christmas, early December. So there are all these opportunities to get to know and get to visit with artists. And even, I mean, there are lots of fantastic things to buy, right. But even if you don't see something that instantly grabs your eye, there are, if you like what somebody does, don't be afraid to ask them, hey, would you do a commission? Would you consider doing something special? I want to create something special for my partner, for my child, for my dog, I don't know, for my parents. So, for example, my husband, he actually had a song composed for me and recorded for me as a birthday present.
Aww.
And it was yeah. the most wonderful gift. I burst into floods of tears every time I hear it. But it is absolutely beautiful. He selected a musician that we know very well and love dearly. And the piece is absolutely perfect. Bruce, my husband, jotted down, you know, five things that he really wanted in the song. And he just kind of, you know, interacted with the songwriters. And then it was, he gave it to me as a recorded song for my birthday. And it was, I can't tell you how special that was. But we have all kinds of people in our community that you could reach out to. And of course, on our Creative Waco website, we have a directory of creatives. So even if you don't want to set foot outside the house, we have wonderful ways of finding musicians, artists, playwrights, all kinds of people.
Oh, excuse me. And, you know, you can also visit Make It in Waco, too.
And on Make It in Waco, we actually have artists who will paint your pet or do a portrait of your children. I mean, imagine giving that to your parents, a portrait of their grandkids. How phenomenal is that? For the person who is who has everything, a commissioned artwork, it does double duty, because not only is it an incredibly one-off, special, unique gift, and probably not as expensive as you think it might be, but it's also helping our local arts community get back on its feet, go forward, become this really defining thing for our community. So it's a win-win.
Let's talk a little bit more about Make It in Waco. So we recently partnered with White Elephant. Can we talk a little bit about how, you know, the changes that we've made and how, you know, artists can still join on the site?
Absolutely. Yeah. We've been able to put more, there's a much greater variety of products, services, and experiences on the website now. And it's become a really easy way. We've allowed artists to be able to kind of create their own shops there. So I know that a number of nonprofits have also started using it as their means of selling stuff for the holiday season. So we are beginning to see some really great holiday stuff on makeitinwaco.com. And I would say that's a really good first port of call. And whether you're looking for something really unique and commissioned, or something custom, or whether you're looking for something that is that you can do multiples of, like Christmas cards, for example, you can find all of that kind of thing. It's a great place to start.
I know for one of my best friends in college, she recently got married this summer, and I was just like really struggling to find a gift, because I mean, you know, everyone has their registries and stuff, but you also just want to add a little bit of personal touch to
something
to their
special
gift.
They're going to treasure.
So one of our vendors on Make in Waco, Celebrate Daydreams, created a custom card for me to give to my friend of one of their wedding pictures, and you know, I was just blown away by how beautiful it was and just how accurately it just, you could see the same facial expressions that were in the picture depicted on the card. And so I sent it to her, and she was like, oh my God, this is like the most beautiful thing. It was so thoughtful. So there are plenty of ways to commission.
Well, even this week, I bumped into somebody while I was riding my bicycle. Well, not physically bumped into them, but saw someone I hadn't seen for a while. And they said, hey, we loved the wedding gift you gave us. Mm-hmm. And it was actually a couple of leaves, ceramic leaves, to keep their wedding rings in, on like in the bathroom. And I hadn't even remembered that I gave them those gifts, but it was done by a local artist. They loved it. They said, we use that every day. It's one of our favorite things.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Fiona, so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much, Kennedy. Great to be here.
You can connect with us on Facebook and Instagram at Creative Waco to stay updated on the various markets and activities happening around town. You can also visit makeitinwaco.com to hire a commission piece for your loved ones this holiday season. This conversation will be posted on kwbu.org. You can also visit creativewaco.org/blog for content related to this episode.
This is KWBU. The evolving styles of artist Philip Guston made him one of the most fascinating artists of the 20th century. And 40 years after his death, he's back in the news. Here's David Smith with this week's edition of David and Art.
Painter Philip Guston was born in Montreal, Canada, in 1913. His father and mother were immigrants from Russia, and when he was 7, the family moved to Southern California. His father, despairing over his inability to find work in the new surroundings, committed suicide when Philip was about 10. In part to deal with the grief, he turned to art, often locking himself in a little room in the house lit with only one single light bulb and drawing cartoons. The graphic intensity of comics like Crazy Cat or Mutt and Jeff, two of Guston's favorites in childhood, would return to his visual vocabulary much later in life with surprising results. He entered the Manual Arts High School in Los Angeles, where he had a classmate who was also interested in art named Jackson Pollock. There, the two had their first exposure to European modernism. They were also expelled for distributing literature condemning the school's turn toward high school sports at what they thought was the expense of the fine arts. By the 1930s, Guston had become involved with labor unions and was working in a factory when management brought in members of the Ku Klux Klan, which had a significant membership in Southern California in those days, to break a strike. It was his first encounter with an image that would reappear decades later in his paintings. He became increasingly interested in the visual impact and the political energy contained in murals, and in 1935, Pollock encouraged him to move to New York City, where he became involved with the arts programs of the WPA. He received a commission to paint a mural at the 1939 New York World's Fair, which went on to win first prize in the outdoor mural category. But in 1947, he suddenly transitioned from realism into abstraction. It was a transformation that was complete and thorough, and he became a major abstract artist with a distinctive vision and style all his own. He was not some copycat of Pollock or de Kooning or Rothko or Still. But then, after about 20 years of creating some fascinating abstract works, Guston abruptly turned his back on that style and went in a radically different direction again. In the late 60s and early 1970s, representationalism suddenly returned to his work with a vengeance, images with the clarity and impact of pop art, yet in no way mistakable for pop, suddenly crowded his canvases. Some of his closest friends didn't understand the transition and didn't approve of it at all. Today, more than 40 years after his death, those representational works from later in his career are causing some trouble. More on this next week.
This and past episodes can be found on our website at kwbu.org. Look for David and Art in the Programs tab.
You can hear David and Art every Monday during Morning Edition and All Things Considered on KWBU. You're listening to Conversations with Creative Waco on KWBU, and I'm your host, Kennedy Sam. With me now is Susan Sistrunk, co-owner of the Kieran Sistrunk Fine Art Gallery, and Aaron Williams, co-owner of MC Art Supplies. This summer, they partnered to launch an outdoor artist market in Uptown Waco, and they're here to tell us more about the one that's happening tomorrow. Susan and Aaron, thank you so much for sitting with us today.
Yeah, you bet. Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Yeah. So first, I'd like to welcome you both to the show. Can you share quickly just a little bit about yourself, your ties to Waco, and how you're involved in the arts community?
Well, I've been in Waco for about 23 years now, and I have a history in education. I spent 15 years teaching at-risk youth here in Waco. I taught for 11 years at the Methodist Children's Home and 3 years at J.H. Hines. 2 years ago, this summer, I took a leap of faith and left my teaching career and did not know what I was going to do, but Mark and I knew we wanted to go in a different direction with our lives. And a few months later, we found a wonderful old house, and we set up shop in it and opened a gallery on March 1st, 2019.
Yeah, and Aaron?
Yeah, and they happen to be our awesome neighbors, which we could basically, like, throw a football to each other across the yard. But, yeah, so I'm Aaron Williams. My wife and I co-own MC Art Supplies, and it's an art supply store that's actually been around for probably, like, the early 80s, late 70s, and the previous couple who owned it before, they were just going to close it down and retire because they were in their 80s and 90s. And we were both born and raised in Waco, but we were just kind of saving up and looking for kind of the next thing, and happened to come across that. And just very long story short, we wanted to take the plunge, and we thought it was an awesome thing and something that Waco needed, because there's not an art supply store anywhere, you know, in between Dallas and Austin. So we figured if we didn't screw up what they were doing and just build upon it and make it a better store, then that's what we were going for. So that's why we're here.
Yeah, so you guys are both owners of arts-based businesses. Can you talk a little bit about how your business has been impacted, you know, due to COVID closures? And, you know, has there been any changes in the last few months since businesses were reallowed to open?
Yeah, I guess you first.
Okay. Our business has changed significantly this year. Our model traditionally last year when we opened was to host a separate, a new artist every month, a new local artist, and give them an opening, use it as sort of an educational tool for some artists who didn't know how to maybe have an opening or a show. And every 30 days we changed art, and we sold over 80 pieces of artwork for local artists last year. So we were pretty proud
That's
of that.
Awesome.
It was very helpful to be able to – it was wonderful to help artists make a living off of their passion. And then this year, at the end of March, obviously Waco closed down, and so did we for 3 months. And it was hard. It's hard for me to not get emotional about it because I pumped so much of my life into it last year. It was hard to just watch my business stop.
Yeah.
When we reopened at the end of June and early July, it was crickets. Nobody wanted to go inside anybody's building. So we were thinking, what do we do? We still had commission work coming in for our own personal artwork, but we couldn't help anybody else. We couldn't have openings for other artists. So I started looking around Washington Avenue, and I'm like, you know, there's all these parking lots that are empty on Saturday. Nobody's using them. What if we could ask people? But I started with our neighbor, Aaron.
Yeah. And we happen to have a parking lot.
So I walked over and I said, you know, I don't want this to be hard work for anybody, but what if? And they were nice enough. And, you know, here we are a couple months later, and it worked well the first couple of times. August was hot, though.
Yeah. August outdoors in Texas is one story. But yeah, you know, our business as well, like, you know, I think COVID has affected every single person in somehow, some way. We were fortunate that, you know, from the get-go, we were working on an online store, and we were, actually able to kind of float it. And a lot of our just local supportive customers were still shopping with us, even though artists are so visual. It's so difficult for them to buy things online sometimes because they want to see it and feel it. And that's a difficult thing. So it was kind of hard to keep people on the other side of the door. We were talking to them through like Ring doorbell, like, I'm sorry, dude. Like, you know, but people have been awesome to us. And of course there were some big events that were canceled / postponed, being, you know, like the Chalk Art Festival or the Chalk Art, you know, festival before the Silo Marathon. And there were a couple things that we had, you know, had on the schedule, and then every schedules just got blown up. So nobody had anything going on, and we were like, what do we do? So we kind of, all businesses were kind of just in survival mode, I think. But Waco's had our backs, and we appreciate them.
Yeah, and, you know, I just want to take the time to thank you guys for being so supportive of things that Creative Waco had. You know, we partnered with, they're now the Black Scent Organization for MLK to kind of do some chalk art on Washington Avenue, which unfortunately got rained out. But,
yeah.
And then also with the Waco Save Project, you know, you guys have really been able to be an awesome sounding board for artists too, because we worked with a bunch of people who weren't too familiar, you know, with where they could buy supplies in Waco. They were having to order online, and they were like, oh my God, thank you so much for connecting me. Like, I would have never guessed. So thank you.
What we've been trying to do from day one is just get the word out there and just grow as a store and just make the awareness there. So, you know.
Yeah, so Susan, as you mentioned, you walked over to Aaron and Jessica and see, like, hey, let's do a thing.
Yeah, so I said, I'll bring water, and, you know, let's not charge the artists any money for this since we're not out anything if we're using our front yards. And I kind of feel bad taking a percentage from anyone right now because it's hard to sell anything right now, let alone art. You know, the world's literally on fire, and the artists are like, hey, you want to buy a painting? and they were great about it. They said, yeah, sure. So, you know, the first day, I think the first time we had 10 artists, maybe.
Yeah, the first time was actually killer. I was surprised and, like, you know, pleasantly surprised that people showed up. And, I mean, people who otherwise had never heard of our business or yours, like, you know, we kind of cross-pollinated there, and it was a beautiful thing. So
yeah, it's been great. And the second time we had upwards of 15 artists, I think, because we paired with SeaTac also, and they brought quite a few people along. And this time we have more businesses involved. Of course, MC Art Supplies, our gallery, Brown Electric down the street, Anna's Taxes, and Bob Smith, who's one of our neighbors who has a building, has offered up some of his space, and I'm waiting to hear back from a couple of other people.
So oh, wow. So you guys are having like four different stations. Yeah. So it's a real art walk.
I know. It went from being an art walk to just one to two houses, and now it's kind of like catching on, so contagious.
Yeah, so can you tell a little bit about, you know, what people can find at the Uptown Art Walk?
I mean, a little bit. I think our the first art walk that we had was a really diverse collection of artwork and diverse age range and, you know, race. And, like, it was a great collection of people. And, you know, we had anything from pottery to paintings to kind of prints and just different things like that. And just the styles were so different. So it was refreshing to see everyone come together as a community. Even if your art is totally different from the guy across from you, they were all still, you know, having a good time meeting each other and admiring each other's work. So, yeah.
And this one's going to be even more diverse. We have artists working with Make It in Waco to get different products coming our way. We have a woodworker this time, some resin work. Old Dutch Spice House is going to have a booth, as well as Luna Juice Bar is going to do a booth.
Nice. So, that's nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jerry Snyder.
Good job. He's great.
So seeing that Farmers Market, the East Side Market, and, you know, your Uptown Market were some of the first arts events to kind of come back, what has been the community's response, you know, to those events thus far?
Like I said, I think just surprisingly supportive, and people have been, you know, it's an odd time because we all want to be mindful of each other's health and really care for each other. But at the same time, we're all going crazy and we want to do things and we want to see the world again. So this is a really, having outdoor open air events like this is a great way to do that, to where you know, can kind of space away from each other, but still show up for Waco's art scene, because that's the difficult thing. And for you guys too, having like anywhere that has like an indoor space where people come to, I know it's such a difficult challenge, and y'all are just rock stars through it. I mean, I know it's difficult, like, you know.
I don't feel like a rock star.
Well, I know. We don't either some days. Some days we just want to like lay down and, you know, like, I mean, we're human, you know, things are just, this is a crazy world we live in right now, but Waco has been great. So I think just these outdoor events, we just need to stay strong and keep going on like, you know, nothing's going on. But
I think it's also nice that the community has really rallied behind businesses need to be flexible right now. And everybody's been very understanding and gracious throughout that process when they come to you and they say, well, what's your business model now? And you honestly look at them and say, I'm not sure yet. Let me get back to you in a few days. Yeah. People have been unbearably kind about it. And I think that's a good thing when we can be kind to each other through a state of duress, because as Aaron said, we are all in this together right now. And we are all trying to you have to evolve through this in order to survive. You just have to. So everyone's been very patient and kind.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it seems like this year has just completely flown by, like November's almost tomorrow.
The longest spring break ever.
Right. So with gift-giving season around the corner, why are artist markets like this that are happening around town, you know, so important to our community and how we support local artists?
I think just it's really causing people to shift their thinking and how they shop for each other and what actually matters on this planet. You know, we kind of live in a society in America that's so commercialized, and it's just like, oh, I don't care. Let's just get them some gift card to Best Buy or something. And people for a long time have not really thought about the smaller businesses. You know, I mean, Waco is a different story because Waco truly is a special place where people do go out of their way and they care for that. But I think now more than ever, people are being mindful of these local small businesses and, you know, way, and particularly like the downtown, like the Biz Bucks, you know, like that's a cool program too that we're a part of. And that's just showing you that the city cares about you and that your community cares. And we've already seen people, tag us on Instagram and things like that saying, I'm coming for you, MC Art Supplies, you know. So it's cool to see people go out of your way and actually care about your small business and everything. So,
yeah. Yeah, it's also caused us to create more in the last few months and think about what is a product. We also have the Wandering Artisans Boutique where we sell handcrafted leather and jewelry, and I've started making resin, exploring a lighting fixture line of products. And really, it's also caused me to think more about my patrons and what would they want now to give to someone, rather than art's great, but not everybody wants a painting or has room on a wall for a painting. So it's forced us to kind of think outside the box on our side of the street about how can we serve our community better. So that's been a nice thing to see, that we're open to learning through this time as well.
Yeah, I'm glad you guys brought that up, because you guys are both artists, you know, with your own creative discipline. Susan, a visual artist and, you know, leather worker, jewelry maker on occasion. And then Aaron, you're a musician. So how have you been able to stay creative during this time?
Really, you know, when we were physically shut down and no customers were coming in, that was when we were just forced into how can we just be creative for other people. And, you know, we figured it was a great time to start demoing products that people may not have known about. Like, we did a lot of tie-dye during that time, and we just did, you know, very organic videos of like, I've never done this before, let's try it together, you know? So we opened the box and did these things, and people loved it. I mean, people were just telling us, like, you know, I had no idea you could do this with that thing, or, you know, we just got a lot of positive feedback. So really just, it's kind of forced us to be creative with the products that we have in our store and just discover things for the first time sometimes, you know? Like, you get in the habit of knowing what people need, and they just check out, and you're like, okay, see you next time. But, like, not everybody explores different forms of art, so it's been kind of cool to just play around with different things.
Yeah, I'm sure that really came in handy, because everyone was sitting at home like, okay.
Yeah, we had so many people doing tie-dye or, like, you know, different things with, like, their clothing, because they looked at their closet, I guess, for 2 weeks, and they were like, hey, I could change this up. And, you know, Pinewood showed up, and, like, they did a whole, like, batch of tie-dye shirts that was, like, a summer love kind of shirt, and, you know, it's cool to see local businesses come together like that. But
I spent most of the summer, you know, after I was sad for a little while that my business was just kind of shut down. But I spent a lot of the summer out at a farm working on a mural this summer. And then when that kind of started wrapping up to a close, I'd been thinking about resin for a while and what the different applications of it could be. And I walked across the street to Aaron's one day and I said, okay, load me up.
Walked out with like a gallon of resin.
I looked at my bank account that night and I went, oh.
Resin is up there, yeah.
But, you know, and I proceeded to go back every couple of weeks for more resin until I figured out what I was doing. But we've come up with a lot of new products in the past few months, and it's just been nice to get creative. And Mark's wonderful with the silver and the leather, and he's come up with some new products that we hope to share with you all at the market.
Awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. So what is one of the biggest lessons that you've learned throughout this year?
Man, there's so many probably, but yeah, just to probably to be flexible is so important. Not just to have all of your eggs in one basket, because it's a crazy, you know, just, I mean, and by eggs, I can mean your thoughts too. I mean, really just like focus on how you can diversify yourself and be adaptable, even as an artist too, because artists, they create and they're passionate and we love that. And we just, I don't know, it's tough, like, for people to adapt sometimes, because you've done the same thing for so long and then the world totally just flips on its, you know, belly, and people are thinking, what do I do? And people are freaking out because they don't have a plan B or something. So really just being flexible and being adaptable is so important.
Yeah, just be teachable. That's the only thing that's what I've taken away from this year, is be teachable.
Yeah, and be kind to each other.
Yeah.
Please, heavy on the kind.
Yes. Actually, that trumps all things.
Right.
So just be kind to each other.
Well, thank you so much, Susan and Aaron, for taking the time and talking with us today.
Yeah. Well, thank you for having us. We really appreciate it. Stay creative, Waco.
Yeah. Join in the fall fun and enjoy original creations by local artists at the Autumn Uptown Art Walk happening tomorrow, October 24th, from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. on Washington Ave. You can connect with MC Art Supplies and the Karen Sistrunk Fine Art Gallery on Facebook and Instagram for more details. This conversation will be posted on kwbu.org. You can also visit creativewaco.org/blog for content related to this episode. Catch the next episode on Friday, October 30th for more deep dives into local arts and culture. This has been Conversations with Creative Waco on KWVU, and I'm your host, Kennedy Sam. Thanks for tuning in.